I certainly think also Michael Olise has had a wonderful start. The Bundesliga is really falling in love with him and just seeing how talented he is. And I think people who watch the Premier League knew that. It's a new thing for Bayern Munich fans.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Welcome to Wednesday's Football Daily. My name is Richie McCormack. On the way, Wales now stand between the Republic of Ireland and a place in next summer's Women's Euros. A new report shows the value of the League of Ireland to the national economy and the latest on Manchester United's pursuit of sporting head coach Ruben Amorim. First up today, the Republic of Ireland completed a routine win over Georgia last night to book their place in the playoff final for next summer's Women's Euros in Switzerland. Goals from Julianne Russell, Kira Carusa and Katie McCabe saw Eileen Gleeson's side win their second leg 3-0 at Tallaght Stadium and 9-0 over the two legs. McCabe's goal followed a first half penalty miss that saw her sky the ball into Tallaght's north stand. But the main area of intrigue last night for Ireland, despite the record Tallaght crowd for an Ireland game of 8,745, was in Cardiff. Trailing 2-1 from their first leg with Slovakia, Wales level the tie 6 minutes before half-time through Jess Fishlock. And midway through the second half of extra time, Liverpool's Kerry Holland scored to win the tie for Wales and set up that two-legged playoff with Ireland for a place in the finals. The first leg will be in Cardiff on November 29th, with the return at Dublin's Aviva Stadium on December 3rd. After the Georgian second leg, Ireland manager Eileen Gleeson spoke to Off the Ball's own Kathleen McNamee.
Considering that and how chaotic it did get at times, and the fact that I think Courtney was the only person in her half for like the majority of that second half, what are the takeaways from that game? Because it's very different opposition to what we're going to be facing against Wales in a couple of weeks' time.
Every game is different in opposition, and you have to, you know, in these two games we knew we would dominate possession. I think obviously Wales, you know, higher ranked opposition, similar profile to us in terms of players, in terms of key players, in terms of the levels that players play at. So yeah, you have to, you approach the game slightly different. The same when we played tougher opposition then, and you pick your squad then that you can maximise your performance against where we're playing with. So that's the way we have to go against Wales.
We had that player of the match performance from Abby on Friday, and then you also had the Stapleton today and that beautiful flick on. So the young players are putting up their hands and saying, "Hi Eileen," giving you a bit of a headache.
Oh, they really are, and I love it. I mean, that's what we want. So I think, you know, Staple was solid. Or Jessie, we call her Staple, but it's Jess, and she was solid. Tonight, she's good in the ball, you know, she's smart, she can see the game. Then you've got Abby, thought Abby was very good over the two games, you know, very good in tight spaces, very progressive, good early deliveries into the box. Then you saw young Ellen Malloy coming on then the last 10 minutes, so I think Ellen, she's an exciting young player, lefty, likes to dribble, creative, so good in those spaces as well. So they're definitely going to give the oldies a good challenge and a run for their money, and that's what we want. We want these young players coming through, we want them playing at good levels, we want them playing consistently. And I think, you know, Staple's gone to Sunderland, she's playing week in and week out regularly. Ellen is playing 90 minutes week in and week out now with Sheffield, so you'll see her level coming up. And yeah, and I mean, I have to give a shout out to Marissa, of course. I thought it was super over the two games, and yeah, you know, really did find us good pockets of space tonight. It was good at linking the play, so yeah, it's exciting.
And Kathleen also caught up with Ireland midfielder Denise O'Sullivan regarding that Wales test.
Yeah, look, I think we all spoke about it, and we didn't really mind who we get in the next round. I think Wales and Slovakia are two very strong squads. Wales, we've played on plenty of times, and we played them at the beginning of this year, and look, we lost in that game, but I think we've improved from that now, and we look forward to it.
How do you go into those games, considering we've probably had a little bit of an easier route than they have, the fact that today's game has gone to extra time? They lost in the first one. You know, we've seen that before, that they're very good at bouncing back after things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have a strong mentality. As I said, they're a strong squad, but I think with our squad, we've a lot of talent. We've a mixture of leaders and a mixture of youth coming through. You can see Abby Larkin stepping up, players like that coming into the squad now to give us that boost. So I think we'll focus on ourselves. I think it's all about ourselves now going forward. We'll review this game tonight, see what we can do better, and then going into the next game.
You talk about the young players. You got Jessie as well having a great window. Ellen coming back after, I think it's like 788 days off the pitch. So what have they done, I suppose, in this window to put their hand up for the next one?
I think they've stepped up big time, the three of them, especially Abby Larkin the other night. I thought she was absolutely fantastic. She created a lot for us. Jessie coming in tonight, putting a stamp on it too, and just stepping up for the team, and Ellen as well coming back after a long time. It's great to see the youngsters coming in and doing their thing. I think we'll need that going forward. We need every single person in this squad. So yeah, it's great.
A new report has highlighted the financial benefit of League of Ireland football to the Irish economy. Accountancy firm BDO Ireland published its economic impact assessment of League of Ireland report, which shows that for 2023, the economy was boosted to the tune of €164.7 million. This figure included direct contribution of €40 million to the Exchequer through taxes. 26,086 fans attended league games in 2023, which is an increase of 19.5% from the previous year. The report also highlights the loyalty of fans, with the average supporter attending 16 of a club's home matches and 7 away games. Fans spend an average of €49.40 on travel, food and merchandise on match days, and that level of spending, they say, contributes significantly to local economies, especially in areas surrounding clubs' home grounds. League of Ireland director Mark Scanlon said this report shows us the net result of how this impacts Irish society, and crucially, how further investment can help the league realise its potential. We're due to hear regarding the large-scale sports infrastructure fund applications before the due election. Ruben Amorim says the decision whether or not to take the Manchester United manager's job is up to him. His current club Sporting say United have expressed a willingness to meet Amorim's €10 million release clause. Amorim was linked with Liverpool in the summer and also had to apologise to Sporting fans after he was pictured in London, reportedly having talks with West Ham officials prior to their appointment of Julen Lopetegui in the summer. Amorim oversaw Sporting's 3-1 League Cup victory at home to Nacional last night and afterwards was collared by Sky's Gary Cotterill.
I've heard the words Manchester United mentioned quite a few times this press conference. Could you sum up where we are with the Manchester United move?
We have to wait a little bit more to explain everything I need to explain, and then everything is, it will be very clear.
But the club, obviously, they have to, if an approach is made for their head coach, because of the rules, have said that approach has been made and the compensation fee has been agreed. So it's now your decision, I guess.
Yes, that's what I said. It's my decision. I will tell everything. So we have to wait. That's it.
How long?
I don't know.
Will you be in the dugout at Old Trafford on Sunday?
I will be here.
Definitely.
I don't know.
Seko now. Cannon with him. Chamadou with a hit. And there's Cannon! Out of nowhere, Stoke City are level. They were dominated by Southampton in the opening 44 minutes or so. But in the time since, they have roared back at the Saints.
Tom Cannon last night put his hand up for inclusion in Heimir Hallgrimsson's squad for the remaining Nations League fixtures with Finland and England. He scored Stoke's equaliser in last night's 3-2 Carabao Cup defeat away to Southampton, having been 2-0 down at half-time. That was Cannon's fifth goal of the season for Stoke and his first since that 4-goal haul against Portsmouth that came earlier this month. The 21-year-old was a standby player for the most recent international window, but with Adam Ida a massive doubt for next month, Cannon can expect a call from Hallgrimsson. His Stoke boss, Narcisse Pelhach, was also impressed with Andy Morin's impact off the bench for them last night.
Yeah, this was the game plan. The idea was to stay in the game for 1 hour, trying to compete well, trying to stay on the game for this first 60 minutes, 65, and then bring fresh players with legs and with quality to make transitions. And we brought Andy Moran, Emilio Manjuev and Luis with the idea to go for the game. And it was brilliant because everything went to plan. And yeah, it's a pity that at the end we couldn't score that chance, because I think we were really close to go through the next round.
Elsewhere last night, Brentford needed penalties to see off Sheffield Wednesday and book their place in the quarterfinals. 1-1 was the final score at the G-Tech. And finally, Jose Mourinho continues to make googly eyes at the Premier League. The Fenerbahce manager spoke openly after last week's Europa League draw with Manchester United that he would someday love to return to England. The 61-year-old only took over at the Istanbul club in the summer, with a deal expected to run until 2026. Speaking with Sky, Mourinho revealed he was close to taking over as England manager after his first stint with Chelsea. He's also claimed to have had the Portugal job on his table on 3 occasions, and the former Chelsea, Manchester United and Tottenham boss hasn't closed the door on a Premier League return.
I had 3 clubs in England, Chelsea twice, so in 4 different periods, I've coached in England, and I loved it. And by the social point of view, of course, I've been so lucky to live in so many beautiful countries and beautiful cities like Istanbul, Rome, Madrid, Milan. But my family lives in London. London is home. So one day I have to be back, unless nobody wants me. But one day I would like to be back. But don't get me wrong, and let's make it very, very clear. For the next 2 years, this season and the next, nobody would take me from Fenerbahce.
That's it for today's Football Daily. Don't forget to subscribe to the OTB Football feed to keep this podcast coming to you Monday to Friday. My name is Richie McCormack. I'll be back with more Football Daily for you tomorrow. Till then, thanks for listening.